All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I'm Jim McPhee, and right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back to another one. And if you haven't done so already, could you do us a huge favor before we get into all the nitty-gritty of the information that is this week? Head over to YouTube for us. Head over to Grumblings Media. And make sure you hit that subscribe button for us. Also, don't forget to hit the thumbs up as well, because that does go a long way. It lets the YouTube algorithm know that, hey, they got some people that want to watch them. Maybe we share it with other people. Don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend. Spread the word. And let's get into it, Jim.
Absolutely, Joe. The 2025 NFL season is among us, Joe. This Thursday night, we're going to get some game. We're going to get a game here. And then it's the Eagles and the Cowboys. And then Friday, we're going to get a game in Brazil. In São Paulo. How about that? The Chiefs and the Chargers. Yeah, so that should be interesting, too. I'm excited. Can't wait to get watching it. This last, over the weekend here or so, something, I don't know, I can't remember. It's been a long weekend here, holiday weekend, and the Micah Parsons news broke. How about that? You know, lo and behold, they aren't able to come up with a deal here. Things were so bad with the Cowboys that Micah Parsons actually did get traded. So the Cowboys trade their best player on their squad for two first-round picks, Kenny Clark. So what do you think to the Green Bay Packers here? So what do you think so far about that and what's going on with the Cowboys and their thought process, according to Jerry Jones, behind it all?
Well, I mean, honestly, it took a weird turn. This whole situation, unlike Trey Hendrickson, where it seemed like both sides wanted to get a deal done, this situation was completely different from any other contract negotiation. It was a lot of name-calling. There were some things said on both sides about each other. And then we get to the point where, as we get down to the end of training camp, it seemed like Micah Parsons, I mean, people had their cell phones out, videotaping them, putting them on Instagram, pictures. It seemed very disinterested. And it just seemed like that relationship kind of fell apart over time. The dude was literally taking a nap on a trainer's table in the middle of a preseason game. No interest there. Over the kind of long duration this offseason of trying to get a deal done between both sides, just not coming to an agreement. And the interesting thing is there's a couple of different versions of the story where on Jerry's side, it was like, well, we had a handshake and agreement between me and Micah Parsons to get a deal done. But there was no agent around. Like, you can't agree to a deal without the agent to be there to, like, kind of finalize it, type it up, all that. Same thing with the other team, like, to get the words on paper. And Micah said that he didn't believe that there was an agreement. He's like, yeah, they shook hands and stuff, but it was like kind of like, you know, all right, yeah, sounds good. Like, all right, then now let my agent handle the rest. But the weird thing is that for the Cowboys organization, they tried to go, like, behind the back door of the agent. They didn't want to really talk directly to the agent and kind of get this thing finalized. They were trying to get this whole thing done with Micah without his agent. It was really strange how this all kind of came together. Now, the rumors around it, like, we've been covering this story for quite some time. The rumors initially were like, well, maybe they can't afford him. Maybe they're not willing to pay him the money, or maybe it's guarantees or length of contract. Well, guess what? The last one I just said, length of contract, was the determining factor of getting a deal done or not. Micah Parsons and his agent wanted a four-year deal, where the Cowboys wanted to lock him in for 5 years. The reason being is because on Micah's side, he would have been just 30 years old and then was going to be able to probably get another good last chunk of change before he's pretty much done in the league. The Cowboys wanted to lock him up for 5 years to where he would be 31 years old and then thus maybe potentially not going to be warranted another big-time contract. So that's where the two sides kind of like fell apart in the negotiations. And then as we got down to, this season that's going to happen this week, Thursday night football is where it kicks off. A deal got consummated between them. They started listening to offers from other teams, but Green Bay was the most aggressive and the most foresight, and they just kept pushing and pushing to get this deal done. Dealing two number ones and a starting caliber player on the D-line, mm-hmm. to me is, I never expected that. It actually shocked me, the amount of compensation that was given up to Mike Gesicki. And you couple that with the enormous contract that he has, it averages per year just under $47 million as mm-hmm. a pass rusher. So, yep. I mean, truly a tremendous, you know, finish to all of this that has transpired. But nonetheless, now he's a Green Bay Packer. Micah Parsons is happy with his new deal. And the Cowboys, I honestly think they kind of won this trade, because as great as Micah Parsons is, that you give up not one, but two number ones and a starting and a really good caliber player in Kenny Clark. That's how I see it.
Yeah, but I don't know. This is something we haven't seen before, like in a long time. And like even Jerry Jones brought it up, maybe
it's Khalil Mack.
You know, oh yeah, I get that too. But I mean the compensation that they got, and I get that Clark is a, you know, multiple Pro Bowler and he's good and stuff. But Micah Parsons, when he's not on the field, like the Dallas Cowboys, their win situation was abysmal. So mm-hmm. he was such a big factor on defense. And even though they added, you know, Pickens to the offense here, I don't think exactly that was going to change the trajectory of this team altogether without having Micah Parsons on that defense and your core defensive players. I get that not having Micah Parsons now, they're able to lock in. You saw that they locked in Deron Bland now, you know, that they had money for that. They could do that. Right. But I don't think they exactly won the trade yet, because we can't find out until we see what happens with the draft picks. And time will tell what happens with that. But I guess if we go by history, history has shown that they've been pretty good with their first-round draft picks. We don't know. You know what I mean? A guy that's good at a talent that he is right now, and with your quarterback that you have, still with the talent that you have, I would have thought that the Cowboys would have been about to kind of challenge this this division and still trying to make a push here. As long as you can keep everybody healthy, it was a pretty solid team. And by this move now, they decided to move on and look to the future. So now you look at Dak Prescott, and I think that puts so much more pressure on him to kind of perform here and get this offense going and basically outscore people, sort of like what we see with Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
I mean, I could see somewhat pressure, but not really on the offensive side. I mean, Dak Prescott's going to do what Dak Prescott does now that he has more weapons at his disposal, and two, kind of top-tier receivers to throw to along with his tight ends and whatnot. So offensively, no, but I think that on the defensive side, is kind of where they are a little bit lackluster on the defensive line, especially. You think about DeMarcus Lawrence leaving because, again, they couldn't afford him. They didn't want to pay him a lot of money. And I understand he was also another plane getting older, went to Seattle. Now there's a void there. And then all of a sudden this whole Micah Parsons thing comes up, which is their premier defensive player that they had no intentions on trading. They had no intentions on losing at the very end of all this. And then they were handcuffed into this deal because there wasn't going to be an agreement. And this guy was willing mm-hmm. to sit out until he gets his deal, and they knew they couldn't be without him. So because of the rift in the relationship between the organization and the player, there was no turning back, where they're like, okay, well, we're at a crossroads and we have to trade him. We have to get compensation for him before we even get into the season. Because, and the other thing that came out after all of this is he gets dealt to Green Bay, and then Green Bay runs a physical on the guy, and he has an injury to his spine, similar to what Stafford has. He has an L4, L5 injury where he twisted and tweaked his spinal cord, his vertebrae, and his back. This is a pain management thing that we know of so far. We don't know all the details, but this is what's come out recently. And now he's kind of almost in jeopardy of playing week one for Green Bay. And so much so that this guy is going to probably go through an epidural just to kill the pain in order to play. So there was a lot of variables involved in this whole deal when it all came together. And now we're starting to find out even more details of possibly why Dallas didn't want to pay him some of the guarantees and how it was structured. You know, they were trying to like kind of give him guarantees early on, and then, you know, on the back end, it would be alleviated to where they could potentially move away from him if they had to. Now with Green Bay is more willing to give him those guarantees throughout the contract. So a lot of different needlepoint, you know, pieces of information that now that are coming to light just makes this whole situation really intriguing to kind of observe and see how it all falls in place.
All right, we got Big John in the house with us tonight. He says, let's face it, Jerry Jones is the NFL version of Steinbrenner. Loves the limelight, but has all the sense of a drunken sailor in a Thai shimmy shop. To an extent, too, because, again,
it's Steinbrenner, by the way.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because if it's Hank, George, then I agree.
It's got to be George, yeah. Fact that you said that, you know, I guess there was pressure that it wasn't going to get done anyway, so I guess they had to make the move, which I agree with. I think that's kind of where
there was no way this happened
the way it is. So I think to that aspect, you know, they got the best that they could out of the whole thing. So like I say, they won in that sense, because if you got a disgruntled player that's not going to play for you anyways, a lot of times you're kind of forced to like either cut them or whatever, trade. You're not going to, but this guy with this type of caliber, you're going to get, you know, something, and they got a whole lot for it. So understand that aspect there. But when Jerry Jones comes out and says, try to explain it all, to kind of say it was almost like a plan thing in a sense, like, oh, we, you know, we didn't get it done, but you know what we didn't do last year was stop the run. And, you know, when we had a pass rusher on the outside trying to force to get through that. Yeah. And like, then people are going to run against you, and that's what you're going to do. Like, trying to explain football the way it's played to everybody. And the whole time, you know, his son's just biting his lip. Just like, oh my gosh, let's let this get over with. You know, I'm not going to say anything so I don't lose my Ferrari or whatever. You know, my daddy gets me. Yeah, the fact that he has to explain this whole thing in a press conference to us and stuff like that, we're like, we're pretty sure we understand how that works, but I don't think your game plan was like, oh, we need to get a run stopper, so we're going to pull this trade off, and it's going to be blockbuster, and this is going to happen. He just tried to find up with something to kind of justify the situation. I think on the other side of this whole thing, it's interesting that Green Bay was the player, you know, the team that's the player involved in this, right? Mm-hmm. We know they wanted to try and make another push deeper into the playoffs. They have a really good team, really good head coach. Jordan Love looks like he could be, you know, a good starting caliber quarterback. But the pressure is on, I think, for him to an extent, too, because you had a top five defense last year. Now you add Micah Parsons to your team. I mean, now you've got another pass rusher that, you know, you've already had before. On the other side, that makes you that much more dangerous. So now the offense needs to not turn the ball over, especially when it comes to playoff time. Because he's been kind of that guy to where a lot of teams or a lot of people now are kind of pegging him as the newest Dak Prescott, to where he has great regular season stats, but then he folds under pressure in the playoffs. You know, we said it before about his record being – you know, 1-2 in the playoffs. He's got 5 touchdowns, 5 picks. Again, a little lackluster here, not performing when he needs to. Now the addition of this defensive player here, we know that defense wins championships. Jordan Love just needs to kind of do better in the playoffs when they make it this year.
Yeah, so for Jordan Love, I mean, Packer fans would love to see a bounce back year going 2 years ago. They want to see the Love of 2 years ago, the guy that kind of took the league by storm when he first got his starting chance and just went right through everybody, played at a super high level versus last year, where last year he looked like a shell of himself, very indecisive at times, making mistakes. So for Green Bay's offense, of course, I mean, of course you want your quarterback to play at a high level and everything, but we'll have to wait and see if Jordan Love can have that bounce back year. And there's no excuse either. Even last year, you could look at him and be like, all right, well, they did go through a little bit of the injury bug with wide receivers. They were dropping like flies left and right around him. And I'll give you that. But now that going into this year, they also added extra to the arsenal. You know, they added rookie Matthew Golden, who looks very much the part to take over that number one spot. And Christian Watson should be concerned because he's still injured, and this guy could literally just take his job right out from underneath him, along with everybody else like Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed. So the offense has no excuses. They got a young, much improved offensive line, guys that are coming back from being injured, guys that are fully healthy, and Jordan Love himself is reset this offseason and looks to take on the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, it's a question that we will have to find out. You know, this season's going to be a really exciting season. Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, this year, I mean, there's a lot of question marks because, right, we got some new head coaches that have joined some teams. We have Pete Carroll now getting back into the coaching fold and coaching now, you know, your Raiders, you know, Tom Brady being an owner, but then also an announcer. So this year is going to be something like we haven't seen before, you know, in a while. So I can't wait to see what happens when it unfolds. We got some exciting games starting up this weekend. But, Joe, let's get right into our divisional predictions here. We've talked about this on our other show, the Football on the No Show. But before we get into it, actually, I want to let you guys know, too, that if you didn't know before, we got some swag to sell out here. So join in with the fun here at Grumblings Media. There it is. Just scan a QR code. Get yourself one of the black mugs. These are the 15-ounce ones, too. You guys see the white ones that we use on our show. This one's bigger.
Nice.
And it's better. That's right. So you guys got to check it out. It's more improved. That's right. It's kind of strange that the white one's smaller than the black one, Joe, right? Is that strange or is that not fair?
It's realistic, right?
Yeah, it's realistic probably, right? Yeah, I guess so. So there you go. Get yourself a mug. There's also the black T-shirts, too, out there with the Grumblings Media icon on it. So there you go. Get yourself some swag. Head to the website, too. Check it out. And get yourself some of the swag here. Grumblings Media is part of the family here.
Right before we move on to the next segment here, I just wanted to touch on this real quick.
Sure.
So since we were talking about Micah, here's the interesting part. Is now that you've moved on from DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah gets traded, now he's gone. Guess who your DNs are now for the Dallas Cowboys? They are none other than Dante Fowler Jr.
Yep.
And second sophomore season, this will upcoming, Marshawn Neyland. Mm-hmm. Who's been learning behind him. Mm-hmm. Interesting, because you have a very young player, and you also got an aging player on the opposite end. So we'll see what they can do, right? Right. Dallas has definitely got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, it's like, again, we've talked about the Dallas Cowboys with their not being effective against the run. Mm-hmm. But so the teams kind of built themselves around that, too, in that division, right? You've seen – now Saquon is with the Eagles. The Commanders are trying to get a better running squad too as well. The Giants, you know, again, you know, Tracy. But these other teams can also beat you in the air now. So it's not just like the Cowboys are just have a better squad. They can beat you in the air, and that they're fine though too or whatever. These other teams now, Terry McLaurin always been there, but look at Jaden Daniels now too on top of it, you know, second year quarterback. Look what he did last year, now coming back again. Mm-hmm. The Eagles, you know about Saquon, but then also you forget about A.J. Brown and the other, guys that they have on their elite. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and neighbors now even, too, what he's doing here with the Giants here with now you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback. It changes things dramatically. So it's not like the Cowboys all of a sudden, hey, we stopped a run. Now we're going to be good. Now we're going to take the division and stuff. They have a long road to go still.
They do. And what's interesting is they have a – phenomenal 1-2 punch at D tackle now with re-signing Odighizuwa, and now you traded for Kenny Clark. Pretty darn good tag team there at D tackle. But as far as the ends go, teams are going to attack that. Teams aren't going to really run up the middle on you right now. Now they're going to be like, all right, well, where's the weakest point? On the edges. We're just going to push those lighter bodied type of guys right out of the way and do sweeps all day. So, it's going to be an interesting chess battle for the Dallas Cowboys defense and everybody that they're going to have to face. But, man, I mean, a lot has changed now on the defensive front for the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't know, how well they're going to combat this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, so here we go. Division predictions. Joe, let's get ready to do it. How about you get started with yours here?
All right, so we do an AFC East. So you got the Bills, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Jets. So this is it's pretty simple. If you understand football and you guys have been paying attention to football, we know you all have. Buffalo Bills are definitely the favorite for this division. So I got Buffalo at one. Obviously, you know, Josh Allen and company, they do have some weaknesses on the defensive side as well as the receiving core, but that's a little concerning. Dolphins to me, I don't think they come in second. In fact, I got New England Patriots coming in second. I think they're going to do better than people anticipate. Mike Vrabel being there, good defense, solid offense, good additions. And then I have the Miami Dolphins kind of finishing third, where you got Tua and company. Great offense. I don't know how good their defense is still going to be. I still think it's a little bit weaker than we were hoping for 2 years into this. And then the Jets I got finishing last. Yes, I do. Even though they have Justin Fields, even though they got a new coaching staff and Aaron Glenn and what have you, I still think their defense is going to be good and solid. But offensively, I think it's going to struggle at times when they have to throw the football to catch back or get back into the game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah, I got the AFC East here. I've got the Bills at the top as well. They're just a better team out of this, everybody that's in this division. I think Dolphins are taking a tick back still too as well. Patriots are going to get better. And the Jets, have some learning curves too. New coach Aaron Glenn, Justin Fields, again, we're not sold completely on him, but I think he kind of fits to kind of make it work. If things go bad, he can kind of move around with his legs and make some plays. But I don't think he's going to be the quarterback of the future. So right now I have the Bills taking the division. Then I still have the Dolphins and the Patriots falling right after them. But they potentially could both be sitting there at 8-9. And the Dolphins, I think, just have the head-to-head against each other here. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins over the Patriots on this one. And then with the Jets here taking up the rear. Like I said, Dolphins on a downtick. It's weird even, too, that Tyreek Hill – issues there with those guys, not named a captain anymore. It's a little bit of disgruntled player here, so we'll see what moves on with him if he ends up being trade bait at the trade deadline. All right, let's move on to the AFC West. Joe, what you got?
AFC West, oh, man, this division's really, really, really busy. A lot of changes in it. Obviously, we know the Denver Broncos, they further improved their defense. Bo Nix coming into his second year. They're looking for him to take another step with these young guys that they put around him. So, honestly, I really like what the Broncos are doing so far. And I think that they're going to be so competitive that they end up taking this division in the end. I think Denver Broncos finally unseat the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver takes the helm there. And then it goes as follows with Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, they're not going to fall far. If they do fall at all, they will come in second place. I got the Chargers with Justin Herbert and this running attack that they have, along with their defense kind of coming in third. And then, obviously, my Raiders are going to end up coming in last because even though they've vastly improved that offense, now finally have a real quarterback in Geno Smith, on the back end of their defense, it is extremely weak and susceptible to the pass. And that, my friend, is where I think they're going to lose some games is because of their lack of defense.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, there you go. I've got the AFC West. I've got the Chiefs at top, Joe. Again, I think there's still a team. People, they've been that team that's been such a dynasty kind of right now and so good that I think some people are starting to kind of count them out now. Again, everybody's looking to see who's going to be the next team to crown them and be above them, and I think they're going to kind of take that to heart a little bit. They're going to play tough this year, and I think they still do enough to win this division, but I think all these teams are going to be good. So it's going to be tight all together. Yeah. Chargers, I have second here again. Jim Harbaugh, you can't count him out. He seems to be the quarterback whisperer too. Justin Herbert getting back to what he kind of was too when he first entered the league. He started to get better too as the season progressed here, started to air it out a little more. He got Keenan Allen joined back in the fold too as well. So he's got some wide receivers there all together too. So I think he'll be happy with that. And you can run the ball here and also get the running backs involved in the passing game. I like that as well. The Broncos, I see them being third here. I think, it was a good story with Bo Nix and what he did and stuff like that. And I get that Sean Payton's there and stuff like that. But a lot of plays he just made on his legs, after the fact. And then Sean Payton kind of did options to make it open for him and made it a little easier, a little dink and dunk here and there. I think a second year after that, teams are going to play up to that and he's going to make some more mistakes. Still going to be a good team, though, especially because they got that good defense here. I got the Broncos in third. And then the Raiders, again, Geno Smith, good quarterback. Still, and you got some playmakers here too. You know, I'm interested to see what Genty does, see how much of a force he can potentially be in this league and for this team. I think the ball should run around them, open it up to Geno to get it out to his receivers. And so the Raiders, a little learning curve here with Pete Carroll, first time head coach for them. So I think they're going to be taking up the last, but I don't think they're going to be a terrible team.
No, well, not at
Charles
all.
Barkley terrible.
Yeah, no, not at all. So I always go to the AFC North.
Yep.
AFC North, another very competitive division. This is going to be, honestly, this could flip-flop so many different ways, but the way I see it ending is kind of one of the favorites that everybody's looking at is Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, we know the rushing attack with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, his ability to just be an absolute freak, whether he runs with the ball or distributes the ball when intended. And that defense keeps getting younger and just they don't seem to miss too much in terms of level of play on that defense. They are going to be tough to deal with. Give me them at number one. After that, I got the Cincinnati Bengals finishing right behind them because that offense is so prolific with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. And then you also have Chase Brown that is coming back in his second year to be even more deadly impact on the offense. I just think this team is going to be hard to put away. Obviously, they have their issues on defense, but now that they have Trey Hendrickson at least for this year, I think they're going to get some stops here and there enough to help them win more games and get them in second place. After that, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes. With old man River Aaron Rodgers leading the charge in Steel Town with this very tough, nasty, and stingy defense of theirs, that's going to help them get into third place. But again, I think you never know with Rodgers where if he ends up getting injured because of his age or his body fails him, it could derail the whole season for them. But I got them finishing third nonetheless. And then Cleveland, I like Joe Flacco. I really do. I think he can help this team win some games, but there's something in me that's telling me that Cleveland is going to have a very tumultuous season where I like their defense too, but it's just something in my gut is telling me that Cleveland is not going to play as well as maybe some people, at least Browns fans, are hoping that they step up to the plate. So I think they're going to go through their struggles. And then if at any point, obviously, if Flacco goes down and then you got to throw a rookie to the Wolves, it's going to look like a disaster.
All right. And at AFC North, I've got the Ravens again. Right now, they're the team to beat in the AFC, and they're vying for a spot for the Super Bowl here. Just one Mark Andrews drop away from getting there, you know. So the Bengals, again, I got them in second. Again, Trey Henderson's back. Yoo-hoo! Absolutely, they'll have somebody there on defense trying to do something here. But, again, Joe Burrow, he can't be stopped again with everybody back. T. Higgins and all family, all the groups, all the families back together here. I got them in second here. They're going to make a good start here for the beginning of the season, too, to help traject them to the playoffs this year. Steelers. Aaron Rodgers is a good story stuff, but again, he's old. He looks it. The defense is getting older. They traded away Minka Fitzpatrick, so I think they're living in yesterday right now. Mike Tomlin's time is, I think, being on borrowed right now. So I got the Steelers hitting third and missing the playoffs. And then the Browns again. Really good defense. Myles Garrett went in for the payday. And again, they got Joe Flacco at quarterback. It is what it is. They're in rebuild mode, so. There's the AFC North. All right, Joe, South.
South, this is a little bit of an easier division to win here. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans as the clear favorite to return to the division winner's circle. And obviously, we saw what C.J. Stroud had his struggles last year. Some of it was injury-related. Offensive line was so injury-riddled that he was getting hit all the time. And then obviously, like Nico Collins going down and whatnot, Tank Dell, all that. But now it looks like everybody is healthy, minus Tank Dell. It looks like they've added to that weaponry in the receiver room, and they look really good. Also, Nick Chubb is going to make an appearance at least for the first four games because he's healthy, and Mixon is out at least for four. We'll obviously evaluate that as we go, but Texans defense is one of the best defenses in football quietly. So I liked what they have going on for them. I got them finishing first. After that, it's kind of like dealer's choice. I mean, I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts right now, finishing second. Obviously, they're going to have a new quarterback, at least to start the season, with Daniel Jones. They have a pretty decent defense, but on the other hand, it's like everything has to cohesively work. And for the Colts, it hasn't always been the case. So I think they do just enough to get into second place. After that, I have surprisingly, the Tennessee Titans with new rookie Cam Ward taking over. I think he's going to add some splash to this very mundane type of offense that Tennessee has been running for quite some time. And obviously, like, I love Calvin Ridley. Their chemistry is flawless already. I like what they have to do on offense and what they have with Tony Pollard. Newly, completely reconstructed offensive line. That's going to really help out your young QB. And then defensively, it looks like they're going to get back to their physical and aggressive ways. I got Jacksonville, surprisingly, to a lot of people out there. I got them finishing last. I think Trevor Lawrence has yet to show any improvement since he's come into the league and quite honestly has kind of nosedived in a sense in his development. And no matter what coach they have, no matter what new offensive guru they have, I understand they got Liam Cohen. He did great in Tampa. Now he's the head coach in Jacksonville. Maybe he can turn it around for him. But until then, I'm just not impressed. I love Brian Thomas Jr., who they have. And an offensive line that's kind of going through a little bit of a turmoil here, an overturn, to where I'm really not excited about their backfield. And defensively, I like their defense. It's pretty darn solid on paper. I like what I see on the football field. But I think they're going to go through struggles this year. To the point so much so that they are going to end up last.
All right. AFC South, I've got the Texans again. I think they bounce back. They've got, you know, Nick Chubb, like you said, for the first couple of weeks. That's going to help them go through until Mixon comes back. So that's a good way to keep the ball rolling without sputtering here. But they are the best team in this division right now. So it'll be easy breezy, lemon peasy. So the Colts here, Daniel Jones wins the spot. I think that's a better quarterback for him here. I think he's going to be pretty solid here. The Colts defense is all right. So I think they could do enough because, again, Jags, I think, aren't going to be as good. Titans, I think, have a little bit of a learning curve right here with a rookie quarterback. So I'm going to go Colts next. Jags next, too, as well. And third, Trevor Lawrence with Liam Cohen. I think it'll be a lot of fun to see what happens. Hopefully he can get it going here now that he's got, you know, some other weapons here. But we've been begging for this guy to do something. Hopefully he can get it around. Stay healthy this year and improve. But, again, they're still going to just sit there and be in third again like they've been doing. So Titans, like I said, it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. I like their defense, too. And we'll see what happens. You know, now they don't have, Traylon Burks and things like that. But they do have some other guys here that can make some plays for them. So we'll see what happens. But I got them taking the bottom of this division.
Yeah, Jim. I mean, Traylon Burks, they never had him, to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
He's always injured. So
yeah, that's true.
No different, right?
Yeah, no different, right? All right. So it was funny, Joe, before we get into the NFC now, I was looking at a predictor that NFL did, right? And they just had, like, an AI do with predictions all together and stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They had – all right, just real quick. They had the Bengals taking out the Ravens for first here.
Oh, wow.
They had the Broncos taking the division. And then they had the Bills, obviously, in that one. Bills were the best team in the AFC. They had the Colts taking the division.
Whoa.
Yeah. And out of all that, the Bills went to the Super Bowl. Now, for the NFC – they had the Cowboys taking the division. They had the Rams taking the division. Cardinals making the playoffs. The Packers winning the division. And then the Falcons, I think, making the playoffs. And the Panthers making the playoffs. Or no, Saints making the – no, Panthers making the playoffs. Saints getting number one overall pick. Buccaneers – take the most wins in the NFC and go all the way to the Super Bowl. The Bills and Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, and the Bills take the chip.
Impressive.
So, and that crazy type of predictions. Stranger things have happened, though, Joe, right?
That's right.
But they've got I think the surprise thing was the Colts taking that division, which I think
would be
impressive. That would be impressive.
Talking about stranger things happening, listen, if you're new to the show, we want you to comment down below. Make sure you let us know you're here. If you have any questions, hey, play along too. We're going through the divisions and giving you our winners to losers. Make sure all of AFC, we already ran through that. Make sure you let us know in the comment section below what you guys think is the AFC winners for each division. And that brings us to the NFC East. Thank you, Christian. Season's here, fellas. That's right, Christian. Season's here. We're jacked up and ready to go. Can't wait for Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Think.
Good luck. Good luck, Jim.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You too, Christian. I got a feeling. So, all right. So, there you go. Let's get to the NFC predictions here now that Christian's about it here, right?
We'll go with your division. East.
Sounds good. Why don't you start it off, Jim?
I think it's going to be a competitive division. And obviously, you have the two favorites, right, for the division. You got the Eagles, Super Bowl champions. Didn't really miss out on much in terms of talent. They always seem to replenish it all the time, whether it be the draft or some kind of suave type of trade with Howie Roseman at the front office. But I got the Eagles being the clear favorite to win the division. I don't expect them to miss out on being number one here. I really don't think it's possible that they don't get the number one in this division. Most complete team coming back for another run, very healthy, very tough. So give me the Eagles at one. Washington, I had them coming in second place with Jaden Daniels coming into his second year and a defense that still isn't quite there yet, but at least their secondary has been improved. So maybe that's going to help them out a little bit more. And obviously the linebacking core is pretty solid. But I love Terry McLaurin getting signed. Jaden Daniels is super happy about that. Still going to be able to sling the rock to him. So I got Washington coming in second. And this is where it gets interesting. A lot of people were used to before Micah was traded, was hands down going with the Cowboys here. But I don't see it that way. I think that the Giants have done enough, have added to that quarterback room, now having Russell Wilson at the helm, a guy who isn't going to be the most elite quarterback in the league or anything by that, but at least he's a middle-of-the-pack, safe type of quarterback, a guy who's going to distribute the football to numerous wide receivers and weapons, and a guy who's going to protect the football. And that's what I think the Giants have needed for quite some time. I like them. I love their defense. I think their defense is going to be very tough to deal with, and that's why I have them finishing third. And then, obviously, with the Cowboys, and this is kind of like easy now, hindsight's 2020. We saw Micah Parsons getting dealed away. That's going to hurt their defense more than they know. And Dante Fowler Jr., Marshawn Freeland, I don't think they're going to do, you know, all that terrorizing in the backfield. So all that much. So I think they're going to be lacking in that pass rush game. I think they're going to be lacking trying to stop the run on the edges, and that's going to probably end up being their Achilles heel. As we approach the season. So I got them finishing dead last, even though Dak Prescott's returning. They have George. They got George.
All right. Yes.
And then they got CeeDee Lamb and obviously they're tight end returning. So, but I still think they're not going to do much in the running game. I still think it's going to be lackluster.
All right, NFC East. The Eagles, again, they're the cream of the crop. They're the returning champions. They're a well-balanced team all the way around. I like the Eagles in this one easy. Commanders, they showed some life in what they did last year. They've only improved this year, so I think they're going to get better. I got them second. When it comes down to the Giants and the Cowboys, again, I'm looking at both sides of the ball. I think the offense has got better just because at the quarterback position, absolutely. I like the running game, too, that they can potentially do stuff. And, I think Russell Wilson can get the ball to these other receivers so that you'll see a little bit more of these guys around there. So I think the offense will get better. That's always kind of been the question with this team. The defense is going to be good still, too. I like the players that they added in free agency as well. And then also, drafting, too, as well, too, on top of it. So I think Giants are going to take third. Cowboys, I picked this before the trade. And you and I, Joe, on our other show, we talked about this. I think Cowboys, again, just don't have enough. I think they're injury plagued. I think, again, you know, Dak Prescott can only do so much. You've got a lot of weapons there, but the defense is lacking. And now you don't have Micah Parsons. I think that's going to be an issue. And we saw it a little bit last year. We're going to see it again this year. But this is where they're actually going to tank and be at the bottom. And they'll get a pretty good first-round pick this year. So there it is. So I got the Eagles, Commanders, and Giants, and Cowboys.
And another thing, too, is the fact that they don't have Tyler Guyton, their starting tackle, like to start the season. So, and quite honestly, I can't quite remember if he was going to be out for the year or not, but it is pretty serious. So, another thing to kind of like throw into the.
All right, let's take out the. Oh, we got some comments. What do we got here?
Christian says, one year and everybody has fallen in love with the Daniels. Let's see if he does it again when there's film on him. I get that, but when you watch Jaden Daniels play, I don't think film can do a whole lot when you have the uncanny ability with his legs that he has. You know, film can only do so much, and Jaden Daniels has been super smart with the football, pulling the ball down and taking off for runs and when he needs to, not all the time, but when he needs to, and distributing the football at a very high rate. So I don't really have that much concern. Unlike some people that did with C.J. Stroud, where Stroud isn't really a mobile guy. He's more of a pocket passer. So, again, we'll see what happens, Christian, but thanks for the comment down below. Our boy, Jim, Mike Packett, was meeting him. Said, in four seasons, Trevor Lawrence has played in 60 games and has a record of 22-38. He's thrown for 69 touchdowns and 46 interceptions. His production has a comp to that of Daniel Jones, even if perhaps it's not his fault with the dumpster fire that is in Jacksonville. At what point do we consider Trevor Lawrence to be a bust?
I think this is the year, basically. I mean, because they already gave him the deal, right? The deal's there. You're locked in. I was even looking to see up until 2031, I think it is, or where you can even safely get rid of him, because that's your void years. But before that, even too, they've got so much guaranteed money into him that their dead money is wicked. So you can't even trade him or cut him before that. It's brutal. Wow. So you're going all in this year. So if he doesn't improve this year, he's got to be a bust. And even he's questionable right now just because, again, when you look at position and where you're selected, that means a whole lot of everything. Because, again, when you're selected that high, when you're supposed to be the savior of this franchise and you haven't come anywhere near what it is, and some of it, I get, you get, you know, talking heads or scouts or whoever talking about how good you are and that when you hit the league and where you're going to be, so talking you up a little bit, you're set up to fail, you know, possibly or so, but just he hasn't lived up to expectations. And, you know, that's part of what it is joining some of these terrible teams. You got to lift up past that and get these teams back to winning.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I think this year is the tell-all year of Trevor Lawrence. I understand, though, there may be a little bit of a grace period because it is a very new offense to him. You know, Liam Cohn is implementing his offense now. It's going to be his way. So they may give him this year and next year before they kind of make that decision to like, well, looks like we can't win with this guy. But for a lot of us, you know, looking at this team, for me anyways, I don't know if I would have gave him the deal. I mean, honestly, you could see you didn't see any kind of flashes to where you're like, oh, my God, that's the guy we drafted, or any kind of like highlight plays where you're like, yes, that's we can work with that. He's kind of been a little bit of a lackluster pick, definitely for where he was selected. But with a new regime now, it might give him one more year grace period before they kind of make that final determination and say, well, we're going to draft a quarterback next year and let the best quarterback win the job type of deal. So it's going to be up to Liam Cohen, really. You know, if he really likes Trevor Lawrence, that grace period will continue, but only so much until your job is in jeopardy. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Going back a few comments, I want to give a shout-out to Daniel Shalman with us, too. Daniel's out there. He says Giants will win at least 10. Oh. 10 quarters, that is.
Okay.
Boom. Haters.
good one.
Tall glass of haterade there. So thank you for the comments, guys. We definitely appreciate you out there. Keep it coming. We love it when you're out there because we can see you guys are out there watching. We just hate it when you guys are silent out there. Come on, talk to us a little bit, man. Don't be so creepy. You know, ask some questions and stuff. So we love it out there. All right. So again, divisional champions, who you guys got? Right. Let us know in the comments too. Any questions? All right, going back to our man Mike Tack is on YouTube. He says it's Jerry Jones' mental aptitude what is hurting the Cowboys from growing into a contender. I think to some aspect, some of it is, I think, going forward. I don't think things that he's done so far has really hurt the team because I feel like he's helped build this team to what it is too as well. I mean, you can't judge what they've done, some of the things, people they've drafted. They've had talent. He's not on the field, you know, not getting the first downs when he need to, this and that, turnovers. You know, the Dez Bryant freaking, is it a catch? Is it not a catch? You know what I'm saying? So Dak Prescott running to the line, not spiking the ball in time, you know, the mental error is there. He's not part of that. No. I think what he has done, he's built some pretty good players here to be part of this team. But again, in hearing his press conference the other night, it was brutal though. I say he's getting there. He's getting to where he needs to kind of step away because your mental aptitude is going, man. Like, I don't know. You know, I've seen a lot of decline in a lot of different people. He shows all the signs there. Just let it go. You've already been training your son, getting involved and things like that. Step away a little bit. Enjoy life a little bit. Just chill.
I think what the real problem is yes, his mental is definitely hurting him in football decisions. I still think he's smart as a tack. As a gentleman, as an older, you know, human being, but my problem with him is the football decisions he makes. And I do agree with that. Yes, he is hurting them in order to grow into a contender. And it reminds me of when the Raiders had Al Davis as their owner. And as his health started to decline, he started making more and more rash decisions in desperation because he wanted to win a Super Bowl before he passed away so badly that anything, he was willing to do anything, spend millions and millions of dollars on free agents and even guys that weren't even that good just to have a chance. And when you start to get into that desperate gray area as a decision maker, you cause the team more harm than you do, you know, better in better moods. So Jerry Jones, I feel like he's handed off the majority of the responsibilities to his son, Stephen Jones. But he's still kind of like the end-all, be-all decision maker, if need be, and that I think is holding the Cowboys back in a sense because of look at what just transpired with them. You know, any other owner, GM, doesn't let this get to this point with Micah Parsons. They get a deal done, you know, and honestly, I think this is kind of like the things that are hurting the Cowboys, and you got to wonder going forward. How many more crazier decisions or bad decisions is he going to make until people are starting to question things?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Joe. So we'll see. Thanks for the comments, Mike. We appreciate it out there. He also said he sounded lethargic. Again, that press conference was brutal. Again, it was an older dude, and it you know, that's what it is. It's life, you know what I mean? So I think it is affecting the team right now. Like I said, moving forward, absolutely. He said, Christian says, hey, did you guys already talk McCaffrey yet? Not yet. We haven't talked any McCaffrey yet. Again, if you guys want to talk some fantasy, we can throw it out there too in a little bit here. He says, I snagged him in the second round of my fantasy draft. I ain't going to lie. I can't believe he was there still and think he's going to have a bounce back year. We've noticed in a couple of different fantasy drafts that some of them are getting crazy this year. I don't know.
I just need to know.
My hat back in the ring, Joe.
All I need to know is who the hell are you drafting with? Because that just doesn't make any sense at all. To get McCaffrey in the second round is...
I think people are afraid. You know what I mean? That's, again, they're afraid of the injury, so they shy away. But I don't know. We'll
production,
see. All right, so,
production.
Yeah, I know. Exactly, right? I mean, it's there, so why not jump into it? All right, so, Joe, let's finish up our predictions here, and then also we also have to predict our MVP, and then we got to get the hell up out of here, you guys. But thank you so much for the comments, you guys. We appreciate
it. Speed round.
Before we get back into it, too, again, I got to push the swag. You guys got to definitely get yourself some Grumblings Media swag. QR code is right here. So if you guys want some, you know, we got the mug. You know, we got the mug out there. We got the classic t-shirt. We got the Blindside Blitz shirt right there, too. There's the mug. Here's the Grumblings Media t-shirt out there. So go to grumblingsmedia.com. You guys can get it or scan the QR codes out there. Get you guys some Grumblings Media swag out there. He says Christian McCaffrey, he was a unanimous number one pick last year. I couldn't believe I grabbed him with like the 14th pick. How about that, Joe? 14th pick.
Christian, let us know what your first round pick was. I'm very curious. But that being said, you know, we bring us to our NFC North here.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into it.
Great North division. Chicago Bears.
Lightning round. Here we go.
Again. All right. Chicago Bears got a very strong defense. I don't have them finishing number one or winning the division. I still don't fully believe in Caleb Williams and what he's able to do. Thus, hearing struggles that he's been having in the offseason with Ben Johnson, the new head coach, and whatnot, I think that they might not do too well once again this year. But I got the Detroit Lions, honestly, where I understand the coordinators are gone, but they still got the same team, guys. Everybody seems to overreact, and I get it. Coaching is a big deal. It is. But remember, there was coaches underneath them that they were tutoring all the years that they were there. So that gives me confidence enough to say that Detroit Lions are still going to be on the map, still going to be a dangerous team. I got them finishing number one. Behind them, I got the Green Bay Packers finishing behind Detroit because obvious reasons. They not only already had a good defense, but now they add Micah Parsons, who's going to wreak havoc. And Jordan Love, I'm kind of expecting him to have that bounce back year with all those weapons and being healthy once again. And then I got the Minnesota Vikings. They got a really solid defense. J.J. McCarthy, again, he's a rookie this year, basically. So going to get his first stint as a starter. And I like what I saw in the offseason from him in practices and whatnot. I understand their practices, but that's all I got to run on. So I think the Vikings are going to do enough to kind of stay in that competition level for one of those spots. But I got them finishing third. And I got Chicago, surprisingly, finishing dead last in this division, even though they got a new coaching staff and a pretty decent defense. I got Chicago finishing dead last year.
All right, here the North. Here you go. The Lions, again, I think they have enough talent despite losing against their coordinators, just like Joe had said. I think the Lions are there to take the division. With being challenged by a bunch of other good teams here, too, as well. I think this is much like the AFC West, where these teams are all going to be pretty good. And I'm going to go with the Packers next. I had them picked again before the Micah Parsons trade, but now you got Micah Parsons again. You made a top five defense even better somehow. So, I mean, this is going to be crazy. They're going to have pass rushers out there all over the ball. Jordan Love, again, just needs to play again up to his, what he's been doing the last couple of seasons, especially as his first season as a starter. And then come playoff time. I want to see him step up and move past the first round here. You got the defense that can get you now. This could be a powerhouse team and one of those teams to kind of surprise people that nobody's really talking about to go far into the playoffs. The Vikings, I feel like, again, I talked about it with Joe on our other show. I feel like the Vikings are a total Ferrari, and they just gave the keys to J.J. McCarthy, and like, here you go. And I'm afraid that he could be like crazy eyes and Mr. Deeds and just say, hey, these things are really fast. Boom, and then boom, crash it real quick. So I'm not sure what this team is really going to do. They have a lot of talent all on defense and then also on offense as well. I just don't know how he's going to perform, even though he's a Michigan guy. I love Michigan, and he's my guy. But I would just kind of, you know, scared to see what they can do here. Bears, I think it's a little bit of a learning curve. We're not totally sold on Caleb Williams and his trajectory in the NFL. I still think he's going to run around and make some plays, but then also it's going to be his Achilles heel on top of it. So I got the Bears finishing last.
All right, that brings us to the NFC South, the Dirty South, that is.
The Dirty South.
And I honestly, like, to me, the favorite has to be Tampa Bay. Like the AI that predicted the Buccaneers to go all the way to the Super Bowl, I got the Buccaneers, and I'm predicting them to at least win the division and make it to the playoffs. I got the Buccaneers in a wide gaping win in terms of, you know, how close other teams are going to come to them, but nonetheless, they're going to take the division. They're fully capable of it. They've added another weapon to their arsenal, a younger guy. So you can see them starting to turn the wheels a little bit in the youth movement there. And they just re-signed like their one of their offensive linemen today, locking him in. So it seems like this team is ready for the long haul and the grind that is the season. Give me Tampa at one. At number two, I have the Atlanta Falcons, honestly, finishing second. And I think they still make the playoffs. I like what I see from Michael Penix Jr. Limited fashion last year and then now going into this offseason underneath his belt. I like what I see. Young weapons around him, good offensive line in front of him. And the defense does definitely look much improved, especially in the front seven. Give me Atlanta at two. Number three, I have the Carolina Panthers. And I really think that the Panthers are going to be a very competitive team with Bryce Young in his third year, with young, talented wide receivers at his disposal, mm-hmm. a young team in general across the board. Defensively, offensively, are all pretty healthy again. Give me them at three. And then to finish off dead last, the New Orleans Saints, because honestly, this team has been aging for quite some time. Alvin Kamara is not as young as he used to be, and you really don't have a true answer as of yet at quarterback. Spencer Rattler gets the nod to start the season. Doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence in this offense, and I think the Saints are going to struggle a little bit this year.
All right, yeah, AFC or NFC South here. I've got the Buccaneers again to do, again, what they did last year. I had a little bit of a slow start last year, but again, injuries were there. So hopefully these guys all stay healthy. Baker Mayfield playing at an elite level right now. He's a true MVP contender. I got the Bucs taking this division here. Next, I've got the Falcons. Michael Penix Jr., again, a little bit of learning here this season, but I still think the team overall is good enough to take this division in second place because, again, Panthers kind of, I think, are going to get better. Saints are just, you know, not very good. You said they've been aging for a while, and now I don't know what the saying is, but the Roosters have come home to do something. I don't know.
Roost.
But there you go. Roost. I don't know, but there you go. Panthers third, Saints there at the bottom. Panthers, again, best wide receiving corps I think that Bryce Young has had so far. So this could only help him here, along with Chuba Hubbard in the running game. So there it is. Bucks, Falcons, Panthers, Saints. All right, so there's our division leaders and, you know, guys at the end here. So our picks, what do you guys think? You guys like them? You don't? You know, tell us what
you
want.
We still got to do the West, don't we?
What's that? Oh, we still got to do the West, huh? Oh, damn. All right, here we go. One more.
Not yet, bud. NFC West. So it goes as follows. I got the 49ers finishing first in the division. It's going to be a close race between them, I believe, and the Rams. But I got the Niners finishing on top. You know, Robert Saleh returning. This defense is going to be very well coached. You know that. They had to make some changes with it, with the youth movement and whatnot. But I like Brock Purdy. I like what the Niners are able to do. I got them edging out the Rams. I got Rams in second. I'm very concerned with Stafford's injury with his spine. One wrong hit, and this dude might not be able to play football again. And that kind of leads me to believe that, like, if any injury does occur to him, for obvious reasons, this Rams team falls apart. But I like the Rams. They got a young defense, and they got some new weaponry with Davante Adams and company in Puka Nacua. After that, take your pick, right? It could be Seattle. It could be Arizona. I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals in this one. I think they're going to be super competitive this year, but I don't think they're going to do enough to kind of get into the playoff race. Again, they still got a little bit ways to go in terms of personnel and improving their team, but I do like them. They surprised us last year. Hell, they're probably going to surprise us again this year. So I got them finishing third. And then Seattle, surprisingly, I have with Sam Darnold at the helm and all, and a very different looking offense with pretty much just Jackson Smith and Jibba as their kind of go-to receiver. I don't know. I don't know what this offense can do. Kenneth Walker, they're obviously going to run the football and try to win that way, but I think that's going to lead them to struggle a little bit on offense. Defense is still strong, but it might not be enough to get them wins.
All right, here, the West, I've got the Rams here taking first. Again, good defense here. Matthew Stafford, again, you get rid of Kupp, you got Devontae Adams right there, too, as well. Puka Nacua, we know the story. Overall, really balanced team. I think the 49ers missing out on some of that talent, you know, that had left. I think that's going to make a little bit of a difference here, but they still are going to do well enough here to take second. The Cardinals, I think, are up-and-coming team. I think they're going to do well here and move up. I like them in third. In Seattle, I don't really like Sam Darnold as a starter here for Seattle. I think they kind of bought, you know, used goods again. They bought something that was better than what, you know, maybe was anticipated. So I don't believe in that situation here. I think the Seahawks are going to learn here in this season and finish last. So there you go. There's our picks now. So finally here, done with the division picks. They're all over. One quick look at all the comments again, and then we got to get up the hell out of here. We appreciate you guys out there who joined in with us and checked in on the chat too as well. Shout out to Christian again. He was talking about our swag too, the buy the swag. He said, I would have to get it if it had your faces on it.
You don't want our ugly mugs on that
shirt. I don't think you want that. I don't think you want that, but we are looking to redesign some of the shirts for the Blindside by Blitz though too. We'll try and get them out there for you
guys. Yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks to everybody that dropped in the comment section down below. We encourage you guys out there that are just watching to do the same next week. Next Tuesday, tune in. We're going to be talking about the season, what we saw from the games that are about to, you know, upcoming and whatnot. But if you could do us a huge favor, head over to YouTube for us, hit the subscribe button over at Grumblings Media. And also don't forget to hit the thumbs up. It definitely goes a long way to let everybody else maybe get a look at us and see what we're all about. Don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend, spread the word, and we'll see you in the next one.